You're here last week, we kicked off the message with talking about how we can see God through brokenness. And then a lot of times when we see brokenness in our life, for many people, they think it's because they did something wrong. They think it's because, man, I sinned here, or I did this, or I did that, and we talked about three elements of how God uses brokenness in our life. And one of the characters that we looked at yesterday or last Sunday was the beloved John. And we talked and discovered that even in this guy's life, Jesus looked at the beloved John, and that was his boy. That was his, if you don't know what that means, that's a good terminology, by the way. He knew him. He was right there all the time with Jesus, and he never messed things up. He never jacked anything up. Matter of fact, Jesus on the cross before he dies looks down upon his mama Mary and then looks over at the beloved John and then tells John, hey, look at your mama. And mama, look at your son. Jesus, who was Mary's son on the earth, Jesus steps back and says, no, you get that position now. That's phenomenal. So this guy was good. And what happens to him? He gets sent to the island of Patmos after being boiled in oil. His eyes plucked out to spend the rest of his days on an island by himself. And we get one of the greatest books ever written, man, the book of Revelation. But he never put himself into that. But man, you think about John for a moment, you know. How can John, in the midst of all that junk and all that was going on in his life, how did he hear? How could he see? How could he hear from Holy Spirit? How could he hear the message his dad was teaching him and his dad was wanting to give out to everyone else? See, I think, man, this is what I think, church. I think the hardest thing for us to do, man, as a Christian, is when things are going really bad and things aren't kind of lining up the way we want them to line up, there's a tendency for us, man, that's the hardest time we want anybody to tell us, man, you need to hear from daddy. It's the hardest time to even hear from the father. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You've been in some really bad situations, a bad rough. It might be financially, it might be whatever, but it was the hardest time for you to hear from God. And you know something? That's the one time that God wants to speak to us. It's actually where he'll speak the loudest a lot of times in our life. Amen. Is in the midst of the junk and the funk and the crazy stuff that happens in our life. It's in the midst of brokenness that God speaks the loudest. Last week we talked about it. It's in the midst of brokenness that we see God the clearest. And when things aren't quite lining up the way we think they should line up, we tend to either blame God. We call God the bad name. You know, because here's the deal. God gets kind of a bad rap. And I'll tell you why. Because see, what happens is, I'm going a different direction. Okay. So what happens is, big surprise. I know, right? So what happens is, Satan kind of comes in on this stuff, right? And he starts jacking with God's people. He just jacks with people in general. I mean, he's the enemy, all right? And then what he does is we immediately see a sickness come around. We immediately see something negative happen. We have a family in our church that we've been ministering to that has finally got it, man. And this family thought, man, the reason why all of their life is all jacked up was because they sinned against God. The reason he lost his job was because he did something that God didn't like. He bought a ring. Yeah, it was a ring. And I don't know what kind of ring it was. It was either like the Sons of Anarchy ring, you know, that they sell those things, or it was a Lord of the Rings type ring, you know, just some kind of heirloom type thing that he bought. And he thought that God was so mad at him for buying that God fired him, got him fired from his job. This is real stuff happening in real world. There are people in our church, in our world, in our churches that think when bad things happen to people, it's because God is trying to teach them a lesson. So far from the truth. And as we talked about last week, it's just life sometimes. But the enemy comes in and he does this. He deceives people. And as soon as God gets the blame, he slithers away. God takes the rap for it. That's the kind of enemy we serve. That's the kind of enemy that we fight against. This enemy that comes in and slithers and gets everything thrown onto God. Natural disaster, oh, God's judging them. We think that's what God does. We think God is like this omnipotent, cosmic killjoy with a baseball bat ready to pounce down on us. And it's so far from the truth, because it's not the daddy that we serve. He is a loving father. Matter of fact, if we understood how much God loved... Okay, I know I haven't even opened the Bible yet, right? Hang on. We're going to go to Isaiah here in a minute if you want to open up. Is it Isaiah? Huh? Kings, thank you. First Kings. We're going to be going to First Kings. All right? But check this out. Yeah, I got to settle down for a minute because there's so much right here right now. Praise God. All right. This is so cool. I know. Hallelujah. I've heard an argument, and the argument goes something like this. It was God who caused Adam and Eve to sin in the Garden of Eden because God created Satan. And so if God created Satan, then God caused the fall of mankind. And it's a false doctrine to have us fear God and have this fear, and not a good fear, like a respect, reverential fear, reverential respect to understand the glory of God, but to have us be intimidated by God so much so that we don't serve Him, we don't worship Him, we don't glorify who He is and what He wants to do in our life. It's a false teaching. Here's how it really worked out. There's a thing that God has, because He's God. It's called foreknowledge. Write that down in your worship guide. Foreknowledge. F-O-R-E, knowledge. Foreknowledge. What that basically means is God knows what's going to happen before it happens. He knows the beginning. He is the beginning from the end. Now, He doesn't make these things happen, but because of foreknowledge, He knows they're going to happen. But you know what He does, which is so awesome that the church needs to get a hold of? He gives us a way of escape. He gives us a way of escape. He says, look, I know this is going to happen. And so for you right now, you don't know what's going to happen in a year from today. You don't know what's going to happen next week. Heck, you don't know what's going to happen in the next 20 minutes. But Daddy does. And sometimes we find ourselves in life in certain situations that we have caused, and it's like, oh, God was sitting up there going, I did not know He was going to do that. Holy cow. I didn't see that coming. Gabriel, did you see that? Michael, come here. Check. You're not going to believe this. Like, God is surprised somehow that we jack something up, that we mess something up, that you got in a fight with your wife or your husband on the way to church, and now the Holy Spirit's not going to move for some reason because you're arguing with your spouse. Well, I didn't hear from God today, man. That song just didn't speak to me today. Well, it must be because I got in a fight with my husband or my wife, whatever. God's not surprised by it. So much so, man, that God says, look, okay, what He does, Romans 8:28, beautiful scripture. It says that God causes all things to work together for the good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose. Notice in that passage, nowhere in that passage does it say that God causes those things to happen. It says that He takes them and He works them. So when we do something that's because of freedom of choice, we get to choose, we get to make a decision. God doesn't want a bunch of robots. God created us not to be angelic. We're not angels. For real, I know you guys, all right? You really ain't no angels, all right? Man, that'll preach a whole nother message, praise God, all right? But angels are subject to God's authority. They're subject to even our authority. We can tell them where to go and what to do. That's biblical. So we have this authority, and God says, I want you to have freedom of choice. You get to make a decision whether or not you want to draw in and closer and be the man or woman that God has called you to be, or you want to continue honky-tonking, living this life over here, but then you're going, but God, I want what's over there with this lifestyle. God says, I can't make that happen. It doesn't work that way. I'm giving you the freedom of choice. You get to choose. Matter of fact, it's a challenge that we're given. It says life and death are in the power of the tongue. We get to choose life or we get to choose death. We get to choose. God's given us that amazing freedom. Thank you, Daddy, for that. Thank you that I'm not made to worship God. I desire to worship God. I desire to be the man that God has called me to be, not because I'm being forced to and because he's got his handprint down on me. And then if I mess up, he's going to throw me into the barbecue pit. I'm not into that. That's not the deity that we serve. God loves his people. God wants you to worship him, but he will not force you. So situations happen in our life and we feel like we're broken and we can't go. And God says, no, you're not broken, child. Wait a minute. I've got a plan in this brokenness. Because now, see, when we're broken, it's when we hear dad the most. It's when we're teachable. It's when we're moldable. Think about some of the times that you had in your life where even maybe you blamed God, but you put yourself in a place where you actually heard him better. It's the time that we get to back away from all the noise of life and actually get to hear our Father speak. Man, God loves us, man. And we keep blaming God for stuff that he didn't do and he didn't cause. Some of you don't even know that God wants to speak to you. That God has a plan and a purpose. He wants you to hear his voice. Some of you have never heard the voice of the Father before. Never heard his voice. First time I heard Daddy's voice, he said he loved me. It's the first words I heard him say. That was you too. First words I heard Daddy speak to me were, I love you. Had never heard that before, even from my own father. Dad said he was proud of me. Go get him, Tiger. You're a good kid. You know, whatever. But I never heard my dad say, I love you. Until the Holy Spirit spoke it through me, through the Father to me. Some of us, man, we're so distracted by the noise in everyday life, that's why we don't hear from the Father. It's not that he's not speaking. I shared an example last week of how sometimes we just got to stop and look around and dad's speaking to us in different situations and circumstances. And then finally, and this is the sad one, we don't recognize his voice. We don't recognize his voice because we don't understand and we don't recognize his word. And so what happens is, man, Jesus said this, and it's a scripture. I'll bring it up here in a second. But Jesus said, man, that my sheep, they hear my voice. And a voice of a stranger, they'll not follow. But see, the reason we follow a stranger's voice is we thought we were doing the right thing. We were hoping that we were doing the right thing. It felt good. It looked good. Man, the Bible says in Psalms, it says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but in the end thereof, it leads to death. If you really unpack that scripture and think about that for a minute, that means it was a good idea. There are things that we do that we think, hey, man, that's a good idea. There's no harm in it. It's a good idea. But it wasn't what Daddy had for us. There are good ideas and there's a God idea. There is a way that seemeth right. It seems good. It looks good. But in the end thereof, it leads to death. In the end, it leads to death. It separates us from God. It pulls us away from the direction that God originally planned for us. The Bible says, man, don't be mistaken. Satan appears as an angel of light deceiving many. Do you realize that the road to deception and the road of deception is a lot broader than Christian life? It's a whole lot bigger. And I'm not here to put condemnation. That's not what I'm trying to do. I want you to see a bigger picture. Daddy's speaking to every person in this room, even right now. Some of you don't like what he's telling you. Dad is speaking, and he wants to help you in wherever you are in your brokenness. But either you don't recognize his voice because you've never heard it before, you don't recognize it, or you don't know it. Elijah was a guy like that. 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 through 13. I told you I was going to get to this, praise God. This is an amazing story. I don't even know if I'll get through this in my entire message because I'm not going to keep you very long. God's got stuff stirring up in me. Ahab told Jezebel. Ahab was a servant of Jezebel. Basically kind of homeboy, home thing going on with Ahab. Ahab, I think, had a crush on Jezebel, whatever. There's a thing in the body of Christ called an Ahab spirit. It's a very submissive spirit. It's a very dominated spirit. Tendency of Ahab, tendency to be, that spirit of Ahab tends to be upon men who've been, demasculated, is that right? Most of their life, generally by a female. And this Ahab, the spirit of Ahab, man, is a very submissive, very quiet spirit. And there's another spirit right here that we get another spirit that's in the body of Christ that roams around. It's called a Jezebel. Now, we think of the Jezebel as like some harlot going around there, you know, hey, she's such a Jezebel. She's at the club every Friday night, right? That's not it at all. But I want you to see something here. Ahab told Jezebel, and you'll see why there's a spirit here. It's a controlling spirit. All that Elijah had done, what Elijah had done, man, is he had these kind of a war of the prophets type deal. It's kind of a cool deal. It's like, I'll show you mine if you show me yours type deal. Basically what happened was Elijah's kind of walking around doing Elijah thing. If you don't know who Elijah, he's a great prophet, powerful prophet, one of the most powerful prophets in the Old Testament. That was a neat dude, man, for whatever. Him and Daddy had some good communication. They didn't have communication struggle. So Elijah comes across these prophets, these 40 prophets of Baal. Baal was a god of the time. He was a false god, really a demonic spirit, and they were worshiping him, right? And so Elijah kind of sitting back watching this going on. He's like, so he gets in this debate with them about who the true God is. So they say, hey, I'll tell you what. Elijah makes the challenge. He said, I'll tell you what. If your God's the God, the real God, Baal here, why don't we do this? Why don't we build two sacrifices? You take an ox and put it over there and put some wood around it, and I'll put an ox over here, and I'll put some wood around mine. And what we'll do is we'll slaughter these two oxes, and we'll each pray to our God, who we believe is God, and say, hey, come consume this. And whoever consumes the sacrifice, he number one. Y'all good with that? Y'all good? Yeah, hey, we're good. Okay, cool. All right. So Elijah comes on the scene. He sits back, all right? So he gets up there. He's going to chill out. He's all right, y'all go first, man. I'll let y'all have, you know, heads, tails. All right, you got heads. You go first, all right? So he sits back, and he watches this thing go on. And in the midst of all this, they're dancing around. They're doing all their little genres, you know, their incantations, and they're all stuff. Matter of fact, read this. It's a true story. He kicks back, and he starts shouting out stuff to him, kind of instigating him a little bit. One of the translations says, hey, maybe your God's on the toilet. That's why you can't hear him. Really, it says that. He's like, you know, hey, he's flushing or something. He needs some toilet paper. I don't know. He's hollering, hey, maybe he's just unavailable. He keeps doing this for a while. They're cutting themselves. This goes on for like a day or two. Finally, Elijah's had enough. They're all worn down. They're wiped out. Elijah comes on the scene. He says, all right, let's ante up just a little bit more, all right? Go get some water and soak down both of them. Go get some water and soak them down. So they go get water, and they build this trench, and they fill this trench with water, and, man, they're ready to go out. And so Elijah steps up. He says, all right, my turn. Y'all step aside. You might get singed a little bit. Yeah, you want to back up too. All right, it's going to get ugly. Daddy, so that they know that you are Daddy, consume these sacrifices. And a fire from heaven came down, man, and zapped both of them. Boom. And after that happened, God says, boof, and zapped the 40 prophets of Baal. Pretty much just smoked them, all right? So Ahab, I guess he's kind of the lone survivor, he runs home and tells mama, Jezebel. Says, hey, man, look what this dude did, all right? Now watch this story unfold. It is so cool. All right, you wouldn't believe that the Bible is so cool. But the Bible really is so cool. So then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. Now, I want you to hold on to a thought for a moment, church. God just performed one of the most powerful miracles ever written in the Bible through a man named Elijah. Jezebel sends a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Now, it says, just as you smoked the prophets, my people, my boys, it's going to be just like you. I'm coming after you. So you would think that a man of faith that just watched God put fire down from heaven and consume two sacrifices, you'd be like, bring it. I ain't scared. That all you got? That's not what he does. First four words. Then he was afraid. Crazy, isn't it? This is Elijah. This is one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. Amazing thing. He was afraid and arose and went for his life, ran for his life. That's funny. And came to Beersheba of Judah, over 80 miles. That's some running. I mean, that dude, I'm thinking, you know, you see the little bumper stickers? I did a 3 point something or 2.1, you know, the little, this dude went 80 miles, man. You know what it reminds me of? Forrest Gump. And then running, you know. Forrest Gump, running over 80 miles out of Jezebel's realm and left his servant there. He's like, look, he left his servant. I mean, like, look, dude, you're on your own. I'm going, phew, lightning. Then watch. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He's like, look, I went 80 miles. That might not be far enough. I'm going to go 80 more. I'm going to go back into the wilderness. And he came and sat down under a long broom or a juniper tree and asked that he might die. Now, I know this is kind of funny, and I kind of exaggerate it a little bit. But how many of us have been there? We've been a place in our life where we just said, man, I wish I'd just be dead. And maybe you didn't say that word. Maybe you felt it. Maybe it's just something that you just said, you know what? This can't get any worse. Can't get any worse than this. But it does. And you're on a place where you're going, I just want to quit. This is Elijah. He runs 80 miles like Forrest Gump, then walks a full day into a wilderness, and he's tired. And then he says to God, I wish I would just die. It's enough. I'm done. Take my life away from me, Lord. I can't do this anymore. And he laid asleep. He laid down. He basically gave up. He lays down under the juniper tree, and behold, God is such a loving father, man. Look, man, God could have come down and said, hey, dude, snap out of it, man. Did you not just see what I just did? But God says, no. Romans 8:28, I make all things work together for the good. So he sends down an angel to him to feed him, to take care of him. The angel touched him and said, take him, arise, and eat. He looked, and behold, and there was a cake baked on the coals, a bottle of water at his head, and he ate, and he drank, and then he laid down again. That in itself, for me, would have been enough. I mean, an angel, you fell asleep by yourself. You wake up, and there's a bed of coals, there's some bread on there, and some, I don't know, quesadillas or something going on over here, some good food, and something to drink, and he lays back down. And again, watch God's love. The angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. Isn't it interesting that God's always looking out for our welfare? He cares about us. Amen. Man. But the angel came a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great. I don't know why that's up there like that. For the strength of that food, 40 days and nights, you're going to need food. Basically what he's saying is, look, you got another journey. It's going to take you about 40 days and nights, and you need to eat. And you're going to this place called Horeb, the Mount of God. In other words, you're fitting to go have a visitation. You're fitting to go have a visitation. You're fitting to see your daddy. So he eats, and after eating, he takes off, and he comes to a cave, and he lodged in it. Now I want you to watch this scenario unfold. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? Now, you think that was a rhetorical question? Say yes. He's God, okay? He replied, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Now he starts bragging on himself. You don't know what you've done to me. Daddy, I've been preaching the gospel, and I've been out witnessing, and I talked to these 40 guys, and you killed them, and all the sacrifices and stuff. Did you not see it? I mean, it was really cool. I've been doing all of this for you. Go ahead to the next slide. And he said, God doesn't say, oh, you poor little fella. Oh, come here. Come on, you little slugger, you. He says, Elijah, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. He says, come out here. Get out of the cave. Quit moping. Quit whining. Come here. Go outside, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the went mountains. In other words, it kind of just split the mountains. It was like Texas. It must have been Texas because it's like tornadoes and wind and stuff. I mean, the wind was so powerful that it broke in pieces the rocks before God. That's a lot of wind, right? And after the wind, an earthquake. But notice what it says, the Lord was not in the earthquake. The Lord was not in the wind. You see, we get into a place in our lives, and sometimes we think it's the big things that God's speaking to us. We think it's the huge things. We think, man, that's God. That's got to be God. God's making this happen. God's doing this. God's doing that. And it's not it at all. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, watch what happens. A sound of gentle stillness. This is the Amplified version. When Elijah heard the voice, he wrapped his face in his mantle. The mantle represented who God, how God identified him. It was his calling. It was his. See, when Elijah goes away and he leaves a predecessor, he takes that mantle and he hands that mantle over to his predecessor. That mantle's important. It's how God identified with Elijah. He wrapped his face in his mantle. He went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" See, I think Daddy's asking the same question. I think he's asking you. I think he's asking you. I think he's asking you. I think he's asking all of us. What are you doing? We have an amazing resource called the Word of God. God has given us the Holy Spirit, and every one of you has access to it. How many of you here and heard Pastor Scott? How many of y'all remember Pastor Scott Prickett, my buddy that came here and preached? Okay, some of y'all did. Some of y'all fell asleep. Cool. All right. One of the things I loved what he said, yes, I had to replay the message because I was a little bit, I was here, but I wasn't here. All right, he'll get it later. I was like heavily medicated. All right. One of the things that he said that I loved what he said that when we rely only on the man that's on top of this platform, we're reverting back to Catholicism. And I know some of you are past Catholics, and that's not a negative statement towards you guys. Listen to what I'm saying. That old school Catholicism relied upon going to the priest to get the word, going to the priest to get forgiven, going to a priest to kind of get your identity. And see, that veil was broken over 2,000 years ago by our Savior. He ripped the veil from top to bottom, opened it up, the temple, so that any one of us can walk in and commune and have relationship with our Father in heaven. And that doesn't mean just coming to church on Sunday morning going, okay, I sing a couple cool songs. Man, they're hip. Man, we heard a good message. And I leave here unchanged. It means that I get to go before my Father, man. And when I get into his presence, I realize that he already knows everything about me. He knows the baggage. He knows the arguments. He knows the fights. He knows the bitterness. He knows everything that's going on inside my heart already. And yet he says, come. What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you here? And somewhere in your point, in your brokenness, God is going to ask you that question. Why are you here? And he's not asking Elijah his location. Listen to me, church, this morning. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. He's not asking us about our location. He's asking about our position. Because Elijah just experienced the most powerful move of God, watching God do miracles. And then he doubted him. And he doubted him. He just watched God slaughter 40 of the prophets of Baal. And he was concerned about one person, one woman, Jezebel. And he's saying, why are you even here? You know what I think God was asking? Why are you identifying yourself like this? Don't you know who you are, Steve? Don't you know who you are, Stephanie? Nick? Nikki? Brian? Don't you know who you are? Why are you here? Don't you know who I am? Sometimes in the brokenness, it's just God shows up and makes himself real. He reveals himself in those times to us, and he asks us that question. What are you doing here, Randy?
I have no idea where I'm at. Praise God.
I'm going to say this, and then we're going to get out of here. Steve, go down to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 12. Pull that up for me. This is how God communicates to people. This will change your life, church. But as is it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of a man. The things, say things, which God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love God this morning? It hasn't even entered into your heart, the things that God has planned for you. One of my favorite passages of scripture that I don't have here in my notes is Ephesians 3 and 20. Look it up. I love it. The things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, but God has, say, but God has. God has revealed them to us. How does he reveal his plan and purpose to us? Through his Spirit. Mm-mm. For God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Some of you guys are waiting for God to show you something, and he's saying, look, come deeper. Come deeper. It's right here. Come deeper. You're blaming me for the circumstances, but just come deeper. I'm going to show you something. Come deeper. Come deeper. Get out of the shallow end. All right? Stop just worrying about what this guy up here is saying and come deeper. Open your Bible. Oh, wait a minute. I got a better idea. Get your butt out of the cave. Come hear that still small voice and come deeper. You see, we become to where we want. We love the milk, praise Jesus. Okay, we like milk. Milk is good. We like Cheerios and the milk and a little bit of honey on it. We like the milk. All right, you know why? One of the things I love to eat in the morning, I love bacon, eggs. I love, how many of y'all love bacon? Praise Jesus. See, y'all are saved, amen. Glory to God. All right, I knew I was talking with Christians. They love bacon. All right, bacon, bacon, bacon. I can say it all the way. That's just a great word, bacon. All right, look. I love bacon and eggs, but you know what I end up eating almost every morning? Cheerios. You know why? It's so easy to pour the milk. I don't have to pull out any pans. I ain't got to put no oil and heat the pot. I ain't got to, well, dang it, I want some bacon, but I don't want the burn, okay? I love it. How have we become like that in the body of Christ? We love the milk, but we don't want no meat. And God says, look, get out of the cave. What are you doing here? If you go into the deeper things of God, if you would allow Holy Spirit not to just be with you, as Jesus said, but you allow the Holy Spirit to be in you, you'll discover truth. He will lead you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit has come to lead us into what? All truth. What did Jesus say? He said, look, I got a lot more to teach you. In other words, hey, everything that we got to get taught is not in this Bible. I got a lot more things I need to teach you. I didn't say this. Look it up. John chapter 14 through 16. Read both those chapters. It's what Daddy says. He says, look, I got to go away. Because if you want the understanding for the life that God has created you to do, it's going to be here. It's going to be in the spiritual realm. We're trying to answer spiritual problems with physical solutions, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work, church. You're trying to fix your financial problem, but it's not a financial problem. It's a heart condition. You're trying to fix your medical condition, your stress, maybe a little overweight, maybe whatever. And it's not a physical condition. It's a spiritual condition. Y'all see what I'm saying? Daddy's saying, come out of the cave. Come deeper. Come deeper. I've got something to give to you. There's three ways we do that. First, we got to store up. We got to store up. We got to get alone with Dad sometimes, man, and turn the stinking media off, turn the television off, turn this garbage off, and get alone with your Father in heaven and just begin to store up. I love it. And some of y'all are going to know what I'm talking about here in a minute, where, man, you get a free moment, you get a free hour. Michael, you know what I'm talking about? You get that free hour, and you just spend it with Daddy. And man, you're just reading. And it's filling you up. And man, you might be reading the book of Acts and talking, looking about Stephen and how Stephen was under persecution. And Saul, man, this dude just stood right back there and he was like watching it all take place. And they were stoning this dude, man. And man, you don't know what it means or whatever, but you took some time and just stored that in your spirit. And then you go to work. And while you're at work, man, you inadvertently tell somebody that you're a Christian, they start making fun of you. And see, earlier that morning, you didn't know why you were reading that passage in that Bible. You didn't understand why you were reading about Stephen. But then you get alone at work, and you're talking about being a Christian, trying to invite someone to church, and someone starts making fun of you. Oh, you believe that stuff? Man, I can't believe you believe that stuff. And then you realize, man, I ain't getting no rock thrown at me. They're just throwing words at me. Maybe that's why I was supposed to read the book of Acts this morning. Because I stored stuff up in my heart. The reason why some of you are not hearing from the Father, it's because, man, you got 3 inches of dust sitting on this thing. You ain't opened this thing up in a long time, man. And you say, you know what? And I love it when you guys do this. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I love it when you call me on the phone and you say, hey, Pastor Mike, will you pray for me? Hey, Pastor Mike, I'm struggling. I love it when you do that. Please don't take this away from that. But, man, do you know something, man? If you would just take the time and open that Bible up and listen to your daddy speak to you, you won't need to call me. You won't need to call me. He'll speak right to you just like he speaks to me. I got to do the same thing. I got to go to prayer. I got to speak to my Father in heaven, man. Jeremiah 7, 23 through 24. Can you get there? Oh, you're awesome, dude. You're right there with me. This is what I've commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be what? May be well with you. Talking about the nation of Israel, and watch what happens. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear. In other words, they didn't set out to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. They didn't set out to listen to the voice of God, and what happened? Is that all I got up there? I thought I had the whole verse down there. Did I not? Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsel and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backwards and not forwards. Some of y'all have been there before. You're like, man, I take 2 steps forward. I take 5 steps back. I don't understand what's going on. Daddy said, look, man, whose voice are you listening to? Don't listen to. Sometimes, man, the voice of reason and the voice of our buddies around us and our friends isn't the voice we need to be listening to. Right. Sometimes we need to step off and go, Daddy, I need to clear all this out. Get rid of all this noise so that I can hear you. It might be good advice. Remember what we said earlier. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but in the end, it leads to death. So all my homeboys, my homegirls might be telling me this, that, or the other thing, but is that leading me in the direction that God has for me? And we won't know that if we don't know God's word, all right? It's through the Holy Spirit that we've been given the mind of Christ. Christ is the head. We are the body, and we receive instruction from him through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14. Look at this. Bam. That's cool. Let me try that some more, man. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the things only the Holy Spirit teaches. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, listen to me, church, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. Man, when you... God will tell you to do stuff, man, that you go, that just doesn't make sense. That's faith. Man, Jesus, do you realize that Jesus never healed someone the same way all through Scripture? Do you realize that, Randy? Did you know that? I just discovered that. We're a lot wiser than I am anyway. A lot more grayer down there, man. I only phrase Jesus, all right? Hey, the Bible says that's a good thing, all right? It's the glory of a man's beard and the grayness of it. That's good stuff. All right. But yeah, every time Jesus healed someone, he did it a different way. You don't know what God's going to speak to you and what he's going to tell you to do. But if you're in tune to the deep things of God, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9? You're in tune to that. It's no problem to walk in it. What happens is, man, God does something, and because we're not tuned in, we think, oh, that can't be God. Mike, you have any evidence of this? Man, do I ever. I'm going to close up with this because I just got to go. If I keep going, we're going to be here all day. Praise God. I know some of you are like, go, go, go. The rest of y'all are like, shut up. I love Psalms 143 and 8. Look at this. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for on you I do lean, and in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. for I lift up my inner self to you. Man, can you imagine starting your day like that every day? Can you imagine what your life would look like, Brian, just to say, God, cause me to incline myself to hear from you. Take my eyes off of man. Take my eyes off of Facebook. Take my eyes off of Oprah and what's his face? Yeah. Praise God. Y'all listen, don't you? Praise God. Dr. Phil. Cause my inner self to trust you. Watch what Daddy does. You want an example? I shared this with our core team. I'm going to put this lid on. It's just like ADD right now. And I keep seeing this lid off, and I'm thinking, I'm going to knock that over. Praise God. We're going to anoint the whole stage. All right. I'm happy now. Several weeks ago, actually in January, we started a message series that we called AIM, or not AIM, I'm thinking of the men's ministry, Stephon. We did a message series called All In. It was actually spawned off of a message series that my pastor preached several years ago, Pastor Jim Dunn from The Quest. And I love that message, and we took a different spin on it, of course. We always do. We're just different here at Epic Life. But in doing so, I was challenged in my own life to be all in. And Daddy challenging me to say, hey, are you going to listen to me? Are you going to listen to the voice of reason? Who are you listening to? So this whole time, and Robin and I have been here 4 years, I think, right, brother? We've been here 4 years. We were The Quest. Many of you didn't know that. We were a campus of The Quest Church out of Roy City. And through that engagement, God came in and did something I never thought was going to happen. And my pastor sat down with me and felt like it was time to turn this church over to myself as a lead pastor, and we renamed ourselves and kind of revamped ourselves a little bit, and we became Epic Life. And so all through that time, Robin wanted to move, and I just never felt like it was time to pack up and go. Have you ever, I just didn't feel like I was supposed to yet. We had struggles, if you've been here, we had some good battles here, praise God. We had some ugly battles here, man, where the enemy came in, and you would think, man, by all natural standards, you're like, man, we shouldn't even be here. Most churches would have folded in heartbeat. And God just continues to bless us. If you were here last Sunday, we had people sitting on the floor. It was packed. I mean, it was amazing to watch what God did and what he continues to do. And so in that message series, man, God began to speak to Robin and I. We put our place. This is what Robin and I have desired, to be in a place. And you can talk to our leadership team. I want to be in a place that I'm not, that I don't listen to the voice of reason sometimes. And sometimes I do. I'm guilty of it, just as any one of us. We listen to the voice of reason because walking in faith, man, is just, the flesh don't get it. And sometimes in our life, we ain't going to get it. God's going to ask us to do something and it just doesn't make sense to do. But we do it anyways. Like sell everything we have and buy a business, you know. Maybe that's why you guys are here today, praise God. You just were my example. And so Daddy finally said, I just felt it's time to sell a house. So 2 months ago, a month ago, I don't know how long ago, we finally put it in gear and we sold the house. And those of you know, that house sold in a week. So we became houseless. I got chewed out once today for sharing this story, praise God. So, we became houseless. We ended up moving in with an amazing woman of God that just also hears from Daddy. And so we're living here in Terrell now. It's an amazing thing. And so during this journey, we get over there. And if you've ever been over to Doc's place and or our place and seen this place, it's just amazing. We're really suffering for Jesus. We are. It's just 80 acres. Got a lake right outside the back door. Lots of fish. I get to watch BJ work. It's really cool. I mean, it is neat, man. I mean, it's just such a blessed place. And you can tell Doc's done a lot of praying on that property. And so while I'm there, Holy Spirit's leading me to begin to pray, you know. I'm asking, you know, is this leading me towards full-time ministry? Is this where I'm supposed to go? God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Why am I here? Why can't I find a place to live? It wasn't a financial thing. It wasn't a credit issue. That was none of the issues at all. We're very good, in good standing financially. God has blessed my family and blessed my wife through, we ain't wealthy, praise Jesus, but we, you know, we're blue collar and we work hard and she took care of all of our bills. and make sure they were paid on time and I wasn't spending. And so kept asking God, God, what are you doing in my life? Why are we here? And I struggled, didn't I, Doc? I struggled with that kind of surrender. I'm good at giving blessing. I love to bless people, guys. I suck at receiving it. I'm just being real this morning. I was in that cave. Daddy's asking, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm trying to figure it out. So we get into just time after time we're praying about this and going, man, are we supposed to be doing this? And I got into a conversation, been talking to some people about it, trying to get wisdom, trying to get counsel. You know, what is Daddy doing? Then I broke my wing. If y'all noticed, I've been kind of walking around like not trying to move around here and kind of like, yeah. I'm supposed to be wearing a little blue thing on my, yeah, you see all the, Karina's like, eh. But I'm supposed to have a harness on or whatever the thing is, and yeah, whatever. Anyhow, I don't want to wear it. I hate wearing that stuff. But anyhow, so this happens, and now I'm not saying God makes these things happen, but God will really get your attention. And so I broke my wing. I did it because probably I didn't warm up and was trying to be like, I was all jacked up on pre-workout and like ready to rock and roll. I was like, you know, anyhow, dislocated the tendon off the bone and did a full pectoral rip or tear. I'm a pectoral major. And so basically the doc says, you're down for 6 weeks. So I can't do a whole lot. So I'm doing a lot of reading and I'm doing a lot of praying and I'm hearing, it's amazing, church, when you will just move stuff out of the way and spend time with your Heavenly Father, the amount of information that will be downloaded into your spirit. And so that challenged me. Came to a men's ministry last Saturday, a week from last Saturday, had an amazing time. I'm looking around as a guy, especially as a pastor of the church, you have a ministry, and there's only like three people there. Me, Brother Michael Brown was there, and Stefan, who leads that ministry, and we're going to have them come up, or Stefan come up here in a minute. And, man, it was just like, this is kind of sucks. You know, where's everybody at? You know, looking for my leaders. Of course, it was the day before Easter, so I get it. You know, cut some people some slack. We had box stuff going on, workout stuff going on. So there's a lot of people out. Interesting how God makes things work together for the good. In this conversation, my brother, Brother Michael, if you don't know Brother Michael, you need to meet him. He has produced, I don't even have a poster for it. I need to get that in here so we have, I've got one on my desk. But he's produced some of the most, how many of y'all like stuff like Facing the Giants? Raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. Okay, you've all seen it, right? The one that's out there, a couple of them now, God's Not Dead 2. Yeah, raise your hand. Miracles. By the way, we went and seen that. Love that movie. Miracle, what does Miracle Still Happen? Miracles from Heaven. Thank you, wife. When the Holy Spirit don't work, just ask your wife. Just, they're right there. Praise God. Okay. All right. So if you like those kind of movies, you need to go and talk to Michael and get a hold of his movie, this latest one he just produced called The Story of John. Man Called John. Bless God, I always get it wrong. And I've seen the movie. We went to the red carpet premiere. Beautiful movie. Well done. You can get them here in Terrell at, I said Crooks and Nannies last time. And I know that was wrong. It was Books and Crannies. They're selling them 10 bucks a piece. I know that's kind of a fill-in commercial. He did not pay me yet to do any of that. So, but you can also go online. You can talk to him after church and figure out how to go online and actually watch it. And so go do that. He's got an amazing, I don't know where this came from, but he's got an amazing deal right now that if he can get 70,000 views or sales, then a major producer guy will come in and put that on mainstream. Mainstream. Yeah. Yeah. So let's support local. Let's support a local brother, okay? Get out there and buy that. Okay, anyhow. So Michael was there, Stefan was there, we're talking, and Michael has no idea the struggle that God, that me and God are having right now. I'm in this cave. I'm seeing the tornadoes, I'm seeing the fire, I'm seeing the amazing thing God's doing, but I knew God wasn't in that in this conversation. Michael starts talking about out of nowhere about the leading of the Holy Spirit and says, you know, let me tell you about how God dealt with me when I needed to go full-time ministry. And I'm sitting down there going, what? Him and Stefan had no idea that I was wrestling, sitting in this chair, I'm wrestling with this idea of what does God want me to do? Why is all this different things happening over the last 2 months? These events, they just keep happening, keep pointing us into a direction. And he shares his story, and Stefan shares an amazing story, man, about just insight about a pilot in an airplane. You know, it's easy to be in the airport. That's what I took away from it. It's easy to be in an airport looking through the window, watching these planes take off, going, you trust that pilot. It's another thing to buy a ticket and get on the plane. It's easy to say, I trust God, but we don't walk in faith. We walk in sure things. Easy to say that. Easy to say, I'm going to sell my house and buy this big old property. I have no idea what it's like to be out in the country. Until you do it. Right, sister? It's easy to say it. If I walked away from that, I'm just like, okay, Daddy, what are you saying? So this week, I've been just seeking counsel and praying and praying and praying. And so Robin and I, she's like, I already knew. I'm like, whatever, you know. Robin and I pulled the trigger. After this wing heals and we get through this thing, I'm putting in my two-week notice at work to go full-time. Now, that sounds cool, doesn't it? Guess what? We can't afford it at the church. Ain't no money. And I'm not putting a message out there to preach finances, all right? You guys know I don't do that, but about once a year I teach on money. You do need to be give. I think you should give. This isn't a money issue. It's a faith issue. It's easy, man, when the bank account shows $100,000. Man, hey, come on, Pastor Mike, we got you. It's a whole other thing, man, to look at that and say, man, Daddy, I don't know what you're doing, but, man, you're telling me to do this. Come out of the cave. And I want to speak that into your life today, church. Some of you need to get out of the cave. Some of you need to step out in faith and start going into the deeper waters. And it's in there, and it's in those moments that you're going to hear from your Father in heaven. I can tell you this beyond a shadow of a doubt. I have more peace in my life than I've ever had over anything, even planting this church. We're not without our struggles. But we position ourselves to hear spiritually, because your Father speaks spiritual things to spiritual people. The deep things of God are revealed through the Holy Spirit. They're not revealed in the things that just seem natural. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I know we're late. Praise God. It just is what it is. If you're a guest today, we just kind of let Daddy do his thing. We don't like go off a real time schedule, so I hope you'll forgive me and come back and visit some more. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, I know there are things. Misty, or whoever's playing the keys, can y'all come up here and play? I just didn't want the keys. Just the keys. Heavenly Father, we just love you so much. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm not alone in this conversation. That you're asking people to step out and trust you in faith. And there's fear. And their fear is probably validated, Father, by, you know, looking at the economy and looking at maybe their situation or looking at what everybody else is doing. There is a sense that it's so easy to step back and be afraid. But Father, while this place is real still right now, would you just speak to your people and show them the reality of stepping out in faith and what will happen? With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to hear my voice for a moment, something that Daddy showed me in the midst of all of this as I was praying and meditating over this. One of the things he revealed to me is that, Mike, if you don't make a decision on this, if you don't pull the trigger on this, you'll never move spiritually beyond that point. See, God will bring you to a point. God will bring you in the boat. He'll put you in the boat. And he'll get you out in the middle of that lake. And you'll see Jesus out there, just as Peter did, and he'll say, bring it. And something happens inside our spirit when we decide to initially and step out into that water as Peter did and walk by faith. But can I tell you something else? That something also happens when we don't. Yeah, God will bring us back around and we'll come back to that point in that boat again. Maybe time and time and time and time again. Daddy's saying you're never going to move beyond this point spiritually until you step out of the boat, until you trust me to walk on the water, It's easy to say you believe in pilots and that you support the pilot and you support airplanes and you never buy a ticket and never get on that plane. It's easy to say it from the airport balcony. It's a whole nother thing, man, to enter that ramp, walk up the ramp, get on the plane, hear those motors turn up, fasten your seatbelt, and be thrust into the back of that seat and let that plane take off. And your hands and your life are now in the care of that pilot. Who's piloting your life? Who's piloting your marriage? Who's piloting your business, your relationships? Who's the pilot? You see, you're at that crossroad again. You have the opportunity to say, Dad, I'm going to step out of the boat and trust you. I'm going to trust you with my finances. I'm going to trust you with my business. I'm going to trust you with my ministry. I'm going to trust you. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Give us the faith to step out of the boat. Give us the faith to trust you, to listen to that voice that's speaking to us in our spirit, not in our head, not in our mind, but that spiritual voice that's saying, you can do this. Come out of the cave. Trust me and take my hand and walk by faith. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. Hallelujah.